Stand up.
Drink.
Pass out.
Drink.
Wake up.
Drink.
Fade it.
Drink.
Fade it.
Nah, I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flats, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels. Some people want to kill their sorrow. Some people want to.
We kick off hour number two of the program. Give us a call on the Big Orange Philly phone lines and trot Big Orange Phillies in Halls, Manorville Pike. 865-546-8200, the number to join the program. Up first today, we have Philly on the horn. What's up, Philly? You're on three and out.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good
morning, Philly.
Well, I guess I have to eat some Rick Warren's crow this morning, won't I?
Yeah, he's serving it up hot.
Well, yeah. Making $6 million a year, you deserve. The Tennessee fans deserve better than they were getting, and they got some of that $6 million this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, advancing to the Sweet 16, always great, no matter the opponent, but to do it on the back of Duke, that was, and just the way you won that game, physically dominating them, that was pretty sweet.
Well, and a lot of people ask, or we ask the question, cheat on a lot, like, where does this season become success or failure? And it'll, don't get me wrong, it'll suck if we lose to FAU, but I don't think you would say the season's a failure if that happens, especially when, I mean, that game could be, you could be playing number one Houston, or you could be playing number one Purdue, or number one Kansas, or whatever. I mean, that's, you know, your floor expect, or your ceiling expectation really for any program is, hey, make the Sweet 16 and let's see what happens. And so you're there. You made it.
Well, you were talking earlier about Kansas State hadn't got waxed by anybody. Tennessee's, outside of the Kentucky game in Lexington, hadn't really got waxed either, has it?
No, Florida at their place was the next closest one, I think.
Yeah, but you were within four at like the 5 minute mark. It ended up being what, like 16 or 17, maybe? I felt like you were never in the Colorado game, but you didn't get it, just killed.
Isn't that funny? Like, you know, like Virginia or even Tennessee style this year, it does make an upset a little more likely just because maybe you're playing great and you're up 12, whereas if you're a run and gun pressing team, that same game you'd be up 20. So, like, if a team hits a couple threes in a row, all of a sudden it's six instead of 12, you know?
But it does kind of insulate you.
But it helps you against better teams not, you know, stay close so that when your guy hits a few shots, all of a sudden you're in the lead again or you're within two or whatever.
Yeah, and you're always pointing about physicality of these games, and usually resulted in victory for the one who did the most, was most physical. This weekend.
Yeah, I mean the teams that are still alive are either very good on offense or very physical. There's not much in or a little bit of both. There's not much in, there's not a lot of finesse teams left. You know, like Arkansas is very physical. UCLA plays great defense, very physical. Houston and San Diego State. San Diego State is like Houston light. They are not as good on offense, but the same type of physicality on the boards. Obviously, Michigan State always plays that way. Kansas State was really, I mean, kind of out-physicaled Kentucky, and then, you know, shot the ball better down the stretch. That was the difference in that game.
Well, I thought the key to that Kentucky game was Kansas State got Taysom Lawson in foul trouble, and that's the reason they won the game, I think.
Yeah, I was reading.
Was going off.
Yeah, I was reading something, Philly, to protect Wattless, because he sat him with two fouls in the first half, and the lineup they had at one point was the three players that had the fewest minutes together of anyone on their like usage list, like guys who play significant amount of minutes. Mm-hmm. The combo that Cal threw out there had the least experience playing with each other, and then you had, what was it? It was like, it was like Livingston, Toppin, and there was one more. From 3-point range, like Reeves goes 1 of 10. He was 1 of 15 from the floor. Toppin was 1 of 7, 0 of 2 from three. And like you had some other guys kind of step up. I mean, Shebue went for 25 and Wallace had 21, but like you said, they both gotten, Wallace got in foul trouble, and then they got basically nothing from Toppin and Reeves, and Reeves had been really good down the stretch for them.
Well, after watching that game last night of our future opponent, it's a winnable game, but if we're loose with the ball, then it's a losable game.
Yeah, definitely a winnable. I mean, of the, I mean, is there a team you'd rather be playing left in the field?
Princeton, Creighton.
No,
maybe Princeton.
Probably not Creighton.
I'm glad we're not playing Kentucky again because they're just a terrible matchup for Tennessee this year.
Yep. Miami is the lowest rated KenPom team by a wide margin.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Then Michigan State, then Florida Atlantic. Two of the worst teams left in the field are in your regional.
Wow.
What's amazing, Michigan State is just sort of like Tennessee. They just limped into the NCAA tournament and not a win. Of course, Izzo is just a master doing it every year.
Yep.
Yeah, he's so good.
Well, this ought to help Tennessee's basketball recruiting because they need to get another guard for their roster next year, especially the point guard position.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what Zakai's recovery time will be. Some guys can fly back from an ACL. Obviously, the surgery procedures are a lot better now than they were, say, 15 years ago. But it would be nice to have somebody else to rely on early. Because I thought that was one of the things that Barnes did really well when we got guys back this year from little injuries, is he didn't just throw them in the starting lineup and play them 35 minutes a game. It was, we're going to ease Phillips back into it a little bit. We're going to ease James, ease Vescovy back into it. And you're going to want to do that with Ziegler when he returns next year. I don't think you'd want him starting the season trying to play 35 to 38 minutes a game if you can avoid it. And he's going to we have to go find another point guard and another shooting guard, too, probably.
I don't foresee Ziegler playing until the SEC next year.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, it depends. I mean, I feel like, was it Adrian Peterson, like, tore his ACL in the second to last game of the year, and he starts the next year and goes for 40. It just depends.
Don't know, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's some guys it takes 2 years to kind of fully recover. Other guys are fine in 8 months.
Well, regardless, Ziegler shouldn't even been playing 30-plus minutes a game.
Right.
His knee was already weak, and it just gave away because he was played too much by Barnes. I'll give him some criticism this morning.
Well, I mean, we've never criticized the defense on this team, and that's what won you the game. I mean, we've always said if you just hit some shots, this team can beat anybody in the country. That's been proven all year. And
wasn't it beautiful? Just knocking the hell out of them. I mean, it's just sight to behold those pretty boys from Duke.
Yep.
Couldn't take it.
They backed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna get Hudson on and have a little fun?
I wish.
Yeah, he might be a little scared.
Yeah,
might be a little. He's probably still crying into his beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Duke and Kentucky down the same. Isn't it beautiful?
Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas all going home before the round of 16. You hate to see it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Phil.
We're definitely on the right side of the bracket, though. I mean, outside of Alabama, you got to like the draw on our side better than the other one.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't
Freaking
matter.
West is loaded.
But at least we've already played them, and it's not, you know, we didn't lose by 30 to where it's like, oh, if we see them again, oh, well, at least we made it to the Final Four. Like, if you were to somehow meet up with Bama in a Final Four, I mean, I think you got a shot, you know.
And you got UConn, on the other side of the bracket, who
they look pretty good.
They're national championship good. UCLA and Gonzaga playing is going to be fun because history tells us every time they meet in the tournament, it's going to get wild.
The Final Four is in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Houston looks like $1 million. That's who I picked.
Sasser keeps getting better, man. Because he still was a little limited in that game, but went off in the second half.
Yeah, it was start of the second half, they said he was, like, playing at 60%.
Jeez. If it's really 60, I don't know if I'd have had him out there.
It ain't 60. I'd call it 80. I mean, he looked pretty
good. Coach speak,
pretty
I guess.
Good. Yeah. I mean, what
Maybe
do we think?
Maybe for him it was 60%.
Yeah, he's out there on one leg, basically.
Willis Reed style. What do we think about FAU? I mean, they're going to basically play four guards the whole time. So that's going to be kind of a new, interesting challenge.
Well, they
do have 1 7-footer.
Yep.
But he's kind of a role guy. I mean, he's not somebody that they're going to feature, but he will be in there for defense. But their depth chart.
He didn't look like a great athlete in that game last night.
No.
Their big guy.
No, I don't think so.
He moves better than Plavsic.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't really need to play big against FDU. though, you'll have to play somewhat bigger against us, right? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, but he should have been able to take advantage against an FDU team that's the smallest in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they said FAU in their game, they're second in the country in bench scoring.
Hmm.
Really?
35 a game.
Huh. All right.
So they play a lot of guys. That's the case.
Defense will have to be ready to go.
That was FAU? Because FDU was rolling a ton of subs.
FAU.
Yeah, they subbed in four, like, right, almost right away.
I can't imagine FDU being last and Ken Palm being good.
Well, FAU went pretty – I mean, they played seven, maybe eight guys. One guy played eight. I mean, they played nine total, but one guy only played 8 minutes.
Vladislav Golden, who is the 7-foot-1 guy for FAU, averages 10.6 boards on the season, 63.4% from the field.
Hmm.
What's his free throws?
I wish the ESPN would just tell you that.
He played 18 minutes in the game last night.
They did play two SEC teams this year as well.
They basically roll Rosado, the guy off the bench. He's like 6'8", and Golden. They basically just alternate them.
He's 60% from the free throw line, so not terrible.
Yeah, FAU lost at Ole Miss 80-67. They did beat Florida at Florida 76-74.
Those games were back-to-back as well.
Mm, yeah,
they lost to MTSU.
Yeah, and they've only lost three total, so, I mean, that came real early in the season.
Lost at MTSU.
Yeah, they lost to UAB, who's actually better than
UAB's
Ole Miss.
UAB's in the quarterfinal for NIT against Vandy.
Hmm. Looks like all their losses were true road games.
Yeah, they
better pack the house at Madison Square Garden.
I was impressed with their Memphis win. And
Memphis.
Then Fairleigh Dickinson game
Memphis
was crazy.
Kind of like, give that one
track
them,
meet
though a little bit.
I didn't get to watch that one. I just saw Penny Hardaway throw his water bottle like a little coward.
Memphis had two guys about getting a fight, both on their team.
With each other? Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was,
weren't they up like one with like 8 seconds to go and they tried to throw a pass across the court and it got stolen and ended up being a jump ball or something real late in the game? And FAU hit basically the winning basket on the next possession. I could have sworn.
I don't think it was quite that late, but yeah, it was something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. We'll get back to the phone lines on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 rolls on. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. We're members. You should be too. Their customer service is unmatched. The Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. That's why it's the official credit union of 3 and Out. Back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We've got Matt up next. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
It's delicious.
What?
Little hot sauce on it.
Oh. How do you do it? Do you do baked or deep fried crow?
You gotta put a lot of hot sauce, because crow does not, it's not a very tasteful thing, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay.
I load hot sauce, some avocado to get a little bit healthy, and then I go back and add some more hot sauce and kind of just do the whole, like, chug it, like, eat it as fast as I can and chug it with a couple of beers, and you're good, man.
Looking up a recipe right now for fried crow. Boy, that looks bad.
Boy, that looks bad. That might be one of, you know, Bruce Pearl had some really fun games to watch offensively. I never thought I would enjoy watching a defensive game, but that's got to be a top three game I've ever seen. And I'm a Tennessee fan, so I'm going to take a Tennessee game. But that was a fun game to watch, shockingly.
Oh, it was great. I mean, you came out, you threw the first punch, literally, and you weathered a little bit of a storm there and, you know, stormed to the lead at the half and really never looked back.
Yeah, it's just crazy how stifling that defense is. I mean, I think I take for granted how good we are on defense a lot. And it's that game right there is just a great example of just how freaking good we are on defense, man. I mean, just from start to finish, and everybody sees it now. It's like you got the announcers are just like, my God, man, these guys are relentless, and they are.
Yeah, it was really funny. I mean, because That was the same crew that had called our game against Louisiana. So, obviously, this is Duke, so I think everything's ramped up a little bit. Everybody's on a little bit more of an edge in a good way. But there were several times in that game where Van Gundy and Harlan are just like, look at this ball pressure. This is unrelenting. Duke can't breathe. And it was nice to be the team delivering the straight jacket.
Yeah, and I think that's typical. I think that's just been Tennessee's MO all year, which kind of gives me some solace going into this next game where we could have an off game shooting and still win. Because we're not gonna not play good defense. We played good defense all year, minus, you know, you guys even mentioned it a minute ago, maybe a couple of games. And I agree with you guys. I don't even think we played bad defense against Florida. I think they just got hot late, you know.
I wonder, too, if maybe this team got a little bored on the back half of the SEC slate.
Well, it's one thing to be like, it's fun watching great defense when it's the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, if this game had been, if you change the team name, if this is Ole Miss on the road and the game goes just like it did on Saturday,
right,
we might be like, yeah, it was kind of, we won, but that was kind of a boring game. Thank God Conwell went off.
right.
I mean, it's just different when the stakes are higher, you know?
Yeah, it is. But you're right, 100% right. And there's some other energy level with these games, too. I mean, even – I don't know if it is the announcers or if it is – but when you watch these March Madness games, I mean, there's – I can't explain it, but there's just something else there. I can watch a, you know, Kentucky game. That Kentucky game was unbelievable to watch. The energy at the end of that game, it seems like when you get to 5 minutes left and you got a close game, it's like the energy level just amps up on both sides, the fans, the people watching. And Tennessee's game was like that, although I think the Tennessee-Duke game was pretty hardcore from the beginning. I mean, it was just, you know. Let me ask you guys this. There's another multiverse out there where what's that real good player that should have fouled out?
Roach,
where he's actually still playing and Duke beats us. And we're calling in right now, ripping.
Oh, could you imagine? Dude, I've never seen officials do that without going to the monitor.
I've seen them do it with Duke a million times. You talk about trying to head Blue Bloods a freaking victory, man. That was unreal. I told my wife, I said, if we lose this game, I swear I'll drive to Greensboro. That might have been the worst call or reverse call I've ever seen in my life, just to give Duke some life.
Yeah, and it was totally the wrong call. Like they called the right foul initially, mm-hmm. and then they reversed it to the guy who got all ball on a little reach in tap. It was crazy.
Yeah. Nate, you like us going to zone? Just switching it up a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just gotta know what you're doing. Like Duke went to zone and should have got right back out of it. Like
yeah.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
Like John Shire, if I mean, that was the worst coaching decision of the ball game by either coach. Like, well, it made no sense. It sparked our offense.
Well, do you think it had anything to do with him rolling his ankle and he couldn't chase Vescovi or
I think it was that, and they didn't want to pick up the foul.
Yeah.
It was both. I do think after he rolled the ankle, because that, I'll be honest, when you first saw the replay, I don't know how he stayed in the game. He mm-hmm. rolled that thing completely sideways.
Well, because they put the ball in Proctor's hands yeah. for the majority of the rest of the game because of that. So.
Yeah, I think he probably wasn't moving great, and obviously they didn't want him to pick up a foul. Mm-hmm. You're more likely to pick up a foul if you're not moving great and you're having to grab and chase and stuff. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit of both.
It was nice to be on the lucky side of, hey, there's a guy that's a starter not playing today, and it wasn't us. And then yeah. dude gets hurt during the game, you know, not us.
Yeah.
That was refreshing.
Well, I'll get out of here, guys. But if there was ever a time that you could set it up, and make a chance to get this Final Four we've been talking about for the last, 100 years. I think this is your best opportunity. And I got a love-hate relationship with Rick Barnes, but if he gets to the Elite Eight, I'll go, you guys have seen Quentin Tarantino's film Pulp Fiction, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Gimp?
Yeah.
I'll go buy one of those red balls. And I won't say another word about him. So, see you guys.
See you, Matt. Thanks for the call. What's that the other day, actually? I mean, have you ever... fifth foul right here. Oh, oops. No, it was the other guy. Oh, you're going to go check the monitor and make sure? Nope, can't. Not inside 2 minutes. Huh. We're just changing the call.
They could check the monitor on who a foul was on.
They probably could have, but then they
just didn't.
Yeah. Davey said on the reaction, they reversed that call to the other guy because they realized they shouldn't have called a foul in the first place, and so they wanted to make things right. Eye roll.
Yeah.
Go blind.
Did
I roll my eyes.
Did you guys like how they kept – because I thought Proctor kind of got it going, and they kept Vescovy on him like quite a while, I felt like, on that pick-and-roll situation. You feel like they should have put Mayshak on him or – switch it up, or you think he did okay?
We kind of joked around about Vescovy being asleep in the first game, but mm-hmm. I don't know what the difference was. He was shot out of a cannon on Saturday. He was quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it.
Maybe he just realized he played terrible. I don't know.
He says he does hate night games.
How's 9 o'clock looking Thursday?
That's the Big Apple. You never sleep there anyway.
Okay.
Something like that.
Looking ahead at FAU, I mean, they're going to go four guards and one post. So it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee does. I mean, we're not afraid to play different starting lineups and then even different lineups during the game. But I mean, are we going to go with, you know, Kamwa and then like Josiah, like Phillips, you know, Mayshak and Vescovy?
Probably. Unless we try to dictate and say, hey, we're going to play through our posts, and you're going to have to pick which of your smaller guys is on Kumwa. Like, Plavsic, if he can get position, is not a bad score around the basket, especially if he's got a size advantage.
Yeah, so are they going to try and put, like, John L. Davis, who's 6'4", and essentially a guard, on
Kumwa?
John L. Davis, also their best player, so if he gets fouls, like... Or do they go zone? Like, that's what I don't know if they play any zone at all during the year. I'd have to go look at some of the metrics there and look some of that stuff up. They didn't last night, but that was against FDU, who's even smaller than they are.
Right.
I
don't know. What do you think? Would you – watching us kind of pick apart Duke zone, FAU's athletic, but are they more athletic than Duke?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah.
They're – way faster.
Yeah, quicker, right.
Way faster. But, they'll definitely really – I think if Tennessee has a bad shooting night against FAU, they can mitigate all of that on the boards, too. I think that's going to be a huge part of the game is can FAU keep us off the glass.
And we've proven that in the last two games. When the other team has gone zone, our offensive rebounding has been awesome.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how many – rebound putback dunks we had all year. We've had like three or four so far in March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
We had two against Duke, right? Phillips had one.
Yeah. Two
Kamwa
against.
Had
I think
a big one at
I
the
think
end.
You had
I think.
Two against Louisiana.
Yeah, because the other dunk Phillips had was an alley oop, right? In transition.
Yeah. And I don't. FAU might change their whole approach and play Rosado and Golden at least to start the game together. That way they can put the 7-footer on Plavsic, which I think he'll probably be. If he brings the physicality, I mean, I think you can limit Plavsic. It's not really his thing anyway. And then I don't know if Rosado can, you know, if he guards Kamwa, okay, but that takes one of their advantages on offense off the floor. So we'll see how that goes. We'll come back with more phone calls on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out.
Coward.
Well, 62 in here.
Felt great.
You're in a puffy jacket.
Exactly. It felt great.
Lord.
Now I'm going to be going off and on. Smells like burnt hair in here.
Got to run the heat at some point. 62. Probably the last week of it, so enjoy that.
I will.
Then it's going to be hot, and you're going to be sweating, and you're going to be mad.
No, then I'm going to be blasting that AC.
Yeah.
It'll still be 62 in here.
It will. That's why you always beat me here in the morning, get the air set just right.
I haven't adjusted it in weeks.
Oh, no.
I did walk in today and think, oh, man, it's nice in here. It's nice and chill.
I'm glad the transmitters get so warm. Otherwise, we'd have like frozen pipes in here. Y'all leave the cool on when it's 25 degrees outside. Not y'all, but the evening folks.
Those guys. Can't trust them.
I know. Let's go back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got DR Vol up next. What's up, DR? You're on three and out.
Guys, happy Victory Monday.
Victory Monday. It's sweet 16.
Oh, I cannot believe it, guys. I want everybody to know this as well. Whatever you did last week, you do it again this week. I don't care if you broke a damn leg. Break the other one. We've got to keep this going. I paid my house payment last week. I'm paying it again this week.
Get ahead of the head of the curve. I like that.
Yeah, Nate, I thought about you because I would I re-downloaded my FanDuel app, and, of course, I bought the win.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Get this. Sizable bet on Duke. And
we told you
I'm glad
happen.
To lose that money. Yeah, you called it. Not just that. I had a parlay, and the parlay was Memphis winning, Duke winning, and Kentucky winning. And they all lost.
Yeah, you did. You lost three times on the parlay.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I may not be able to make the house payment again this week.
That's a good point.
You know, and I recuse myself as a Barnes basher when we beat Duke. Well, tweeting about it anyway. But last time I was watching FAU, I can talk myself in anything, and I got myself worried about FAU. Y'all got to talk me out of it. Because all I can think about is Sister Jean when we should advance that year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they have a nun that they travel with.
Now, shout out to Cody.
The thing that worries me is their three-point shooting.
That's what scares me, Nate.
Neither of their big guys have attempted a three all season. However, they usually only play one of those guys at a time, and their other dudes are all 37% or better. They're top 50 in the country, three-point percentage, 36.7 for the year. John L. Davis, their best player, is 39.4% from three.
And we know how – I'm trying not to get negative. We know how three-point shooters do against us in the tournament. They always get hot.
Yeah, but that type of thing – the types of things that usually kind of snake bite us went the other way on Saturday. So we've turned a new leaf, DR. You can have some hope again.
That's true. Again, no longer a Barnes basher. I'm going to be positive. Every day is Optimism Tuesday until it's not for me.
Just keep the cup on.
Hey.
That's permanently planted. Yeah. I can't take it off anymore.
Have to be surgically removed.
Especially the baseball team, how they look. Yeah.
We haven't even touched on that. Boy, that was it was reminiscent of that Kentucky series last year where you went up and there was no fans and it was 20 degrees and they, you know, canceled the game. That was, I'd say that was not a fun trip home for the boys.
Well, guys, I'm sure y'all get into it, but I know FAU, I've heard like KenPom, and they're like top 20 KenPom, and they've only had three losses. I wonder what happened to those three losses if they just, you know, you live by the three, die by the three, and do y'all kind of see them as kind of a Auburn type of team that we're going to play? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call.
They were 8 of 21 from 3 against Ole Miss.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that bad, really. They didn't get to the free throw line a ton, which is what they typically like to do. They only got there 12 times against Ole Miss, and that loss, they scored 67 but gave up 80. They beat Florida 76-74. They were 13 of 24 from 3 in that game. That's really good. So it seems like a win there. Let's see. UAB, they lost 86-77. I'm going to guess they probably didn't shoot it that great in this one. Yeah, 8 of 36. Mm. So your hope is that they're not shooting.
They've got 36 threes.
Your hope is that they're not making them and they just keep chucking them up there. You just get a hand up. I mean, they are going to take and make some wild threes. That is going to happen. Our defense is so good that they're going to be forced to shoot it from 32, 33 feet plus. Some of them are going to go in. You just got to hope that, you know, they don't get two guys hot or anything like that. Golly, that Boyd kid took 10 threes against UAB.
Man, back to the phone lines. Got Roberto up next. What's up, Berto? You're on three and out.
Good morning, gents.
Morning.
So I said on Friday, make me call in and and admit I'm an idiot. So I'm an idiot.
All right.
So I couldn't be, I could not be happier to be an idiot, guys. I was legitimately stunned that we won on Saturday. Stunned.
I wasn't stunned. I was a little stunned in the way in which the game kind of unfolded. That you know, you got down a little bit in the first half, but then you put the clamps on and the offense, like, I don't think anybody expected Cumwah to drop another 27 burger. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a game Tennessee could win. I thought it would be a little closer down the stretch, but you kept making shots and you kept grabbing rebounds when they would miss shots. It was the prototype. I mean, they kept saying it on the broadcast every time they talked to Rick Barnes. This is the exact type of game that he wants. Right, coach? Isn't this what you want? He's like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what we want. We want a slugfest. And that's – they did exactly what Cumwah said after the game. We drug them down to the mud, and some people can hang and some people can't. We're used to this. This is how we play. It was a great performance.
And Duke's soft. You know, for all what Duke is and isn't, I always felt like they were kind of some. There were some tough guys at Duke. Maybe I'm way off on that, but I always felt like there were some tough guys at Duke, Trajan Langdon, guys like that. Duke is soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy to think that we could theoretically. I'm not saying we're going to, but we could theoretically make a Final Four run and play the highest seed we play the whole tournament's a five.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. You know, they say, oh, the brackets really opened up. The brackets don't get more open than what happened to Tennessee this weekend. They don't. The number one seed goes down. The number two seed goes down. You're the number four. You take out the number five seed. I mean, like, guys, it's pretty incredible. And the one thing I want to give Barnes credit for, because I don't do that very often, he didn't overcoach.
Mm.
Do you guys agree with that? I feel like he didn't overcoach on Saturday.
He never pressed the panic button and changed what they were doing. Shire did. But, now, maybe he had to because of the injury and the fouls on Roach, but, I mean, Tennessee just, they were steady the whole game. Like, they just kept doing what they normally do. And some games, Roberto, like, we want him to switch it up, and it drives us crazy when we wait too long to call a timeout or make an adjustment. But this game, it felt like even though we were down in the first half, you could sense some confidence with Rick Barnes. Like, this is working.
Well,
we just got to keep pushing.
If Santiago Vescovi doesn't kind of man up and hit a huge three when you're down six in the first half, and then start kind of demanding the basketball and making sure that the team plays through him, then I would have been kind of annoyed that Rick Barnes didn't try and call some other stuff to get us some points when it was like 21-16 maybe, or 22-16. Like,
yeah, when, like, they didn't
so
score
you
again.
You don't think that Barnes demanded that the offense run through Vesco? You just think that Vesco said, I'm the captain.
Yeah, that's just his style. He never demands anything like that. I mean, you can see that there's a point of emphasis for everyone to
except attack that you
more.
Pass the ball at least four times before you shoot.
Get to the basket.
Hackman style.
I mean, but you know, that's what made the Grant and Admiral team special, though, is those players demanded the ball in certain situations,
right.
and he allows them to kind of establish that pecking order. So your best players, you know, stepped up and made some plays, and that's kind of what he wants them to do. So you got to give him credit for that. It wasn't a close game down the stretch, so we didn't have to worry about execution on that front, which was great. But that's what happens. If this team makes some shots, like, they can be as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm. And 65 is our magic number, I feel like. Didn't somebody say that if Tennessee scores 65, they've won, like, almost all their games except for, like, Missouri and maybe one Kentucky game?
Well, there was one stat that if we give up 60 or fewer, we're like 18-0 or something like
that. Maybe it was that. Whatever it is. I'm an idiot, and I was just so impressed. Now, make me an idiot again and again and again. Just make me look like an idiot, Barnes. I'm fine with that. I couldn't be a happier idiot today. I'm just off in my – what do they say in The Matrix? Ignorance is bliss. I'm that guy. I was beside myself happy the other day. They earned it. They played really hard. I love that we my brother-in-law used the word, so I'll give him credit. But we punked Duke. We punked them. We did to them what they'd done to teams for years. And it just felt great. I don't know. I guess we had to sacrifice our baseball team for the weekend for yep. the Sweet 16 run.
Yeah, that hurt.
I don't know what's going on with them. I've told people for a month they can't hit. Nobody seems to want to listen. But right now they can't pitch. I don't want to transition into that. I'll get into that another day. Frank Anderson called a horrible game that first game, and that's why we lost. Back to the basketball team. Guys, is there anything – you said FAU, you're worried about their three-point shooting. Do they play very similar to Alabama? The two games I saw of them, I felt like they played very similar to Alabama. You're shooting a rim two or a three, and that's it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Alberto. I'm going to dig into them more, but it felt like that. I mean, they've got one – they're going to have one big guy in the game, either they're 6'8", or they're 7-footer. And everybody else is essentially a guard. I mean, John L. Davis is 6'4". He plays bigger than that. He's kind of like what we kind of hope Julian Fields will be, like kind of a guy that can score over people, around people, and shoot the three. He's their best player. But, I mean, he is 39.4% from three. Brian Greenlee is 39.7% from three. Nick Boyd is 38.2% from three. And Elijah Martin is 37.3% from three. So, I mean, you've got four guys that are all shooting a high clip from three. That's all on over 109 attempts is the least amount out of those four guys. So it's definitely a lot of three-point shooting. And I think, as Houston said, with us, we're going to protect the rim. So that's kind of what we're going to leave them, and we'll see how it goes. Final segment, back to the phone lines on the flip side. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two, right back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines we go. We got Matthew up next. What's up, Matthew? You're on three and out.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. How we feeling?
Matthew, I just want to go ahead and apologize. Adam Hickman ducked out before your call because he didn't want to have to give his 15 things he likes about Rick Barnes. He ran from the bet. He's a coward.
Sad.
And I'm very disappointed. We will get you those 15 things, hopefully tomorrow, if he doesn't come up with another lame-ass excuse to get out of here.
I had a witty closer for my call, too, so that ruins it. Oh, well. I'll tell you what we'll make up for it, though. Nate, you had a beautiful voice last week when you said, taking care of business. Mm. Can I get that one more time?
Oh, Al, singing on the spot. That's
know,
tough.
Man. I don't know. Maybe you may just have to wait for it later in the program.
Man, I mean, I get it, guys. I think we're all on cloud nine, and nobody, as much as a sheep as I have been, nobody saw Saturday happening the way it did. I mean, just to physically dominate the game for 40 minutes, I mean, completely up and down the court. At one point, though, in the early minutes when it was 7-2, I was nervous. But, I mean, Jordan and I talked about it earlier on. The way that I thought that we would win is how they dictated the game. And I thought they fairly called the game, you know, even Neil. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, everything we did that they complained about, we got a foul called for it. They even called one on Santi when I'm not even sure the ball touched that guy's nose. I mean,
you know that. I made the comment earlier on, and I said, I guess Duke has a really good theater program at the school because it made it feel like the one on Santi, I truly do not believe he even grazed his nose even with the ball.
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't seen a replay that clearly shows he touches his face. But he certainly flopped like he got shot with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything you essentially needed to happen in that game went right. You played good on defense. You hit some shots that you needed to eventually hit. I thought was really interesting is you had more threes made than turnovers. You had 9 threes and only 8 turnovers the entire game.
That's a good recipe for this team.
Yeah.
Because what do we have? Do we have 12 turnovers in the first half against Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you protect the ball and – you're going to run away from Louisiana. You protect the ball, and you beat Duke by double digits. You know, a comfortable win.
What really stood out to me, and I'll give you back some time, is our bench has been kind of null and void. It's been non-existent. And you got 15 points out of your bench. I mean, Jonas Dew had eight. It won't show up on the stat sheet, but a guy that really stood out to me that got some critical rebounds is Toby Awaka.
Yeah, he may have a good opportunity in this next game, depending. But, yeah, I thought he got – what did he end up with? He had three rebounds. Only played 11 minutes, but I felt like he was in – you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He was in there. He was physical. He did pick up two fouls. I feel like one of those, if I remember correctly, was just a bogus call. Probably a flop.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was interesting is, you know, a lot of our fan base has been critical of guys like Olivier Kamwa, Josiah Jordan James, and, you know, this is a game where he showed the full potential that we've seen versus Texas and seen versus other teams, but then also it also wouldn't amaze me if next game he goes and gets 5 points and four rebounds and kind of goes back into his shell. But the potential's there, and we've honestly been on the other ends of this with guys like Ryan Klein that have actually gone off. So I'm happy that we eventually finally fell on our side to where we had a guy on our end just absolutely dismantle their team.
Yeah, I think the frustration with like Kamwa, James, Vescovi to an extent is that you know that they're capable of having a 20-point night, and the problem is when nobody steps up and they all go for like 8 or 9, and then you end up losing a game, and it's like maybe, just maybe, they're – I think during the season all these guys were very – I don't want to say very, but a lot of times they would be a little passive in games. Oh, who should take the shot? Maybe he should take the shot. Now you're in a, you know, like win or your career at Tennessee is over. So I think you saw all three of those guys step up to a degree. I'd like to see Josiah play a little better, especially offensively.
Man, he was terrible.
He's well,
he was.
That was two bad games in a row from him. So he's
was 2 of 7.
He's
from
due
two.
A good one.
2 of 7 from two.
Right.
And
1 of 5 from three. It was a nice big three to start the second half.
Guess how many shots he took in the side of the paint.
One.
Yeah. I mean, he shot the ball 11 times, and one of those was in the paint. And he made it.
Yeah, if he could just find some type of offensive identity, I mean, I know you and I have disagreed on this, Nate, but if he could just find some form of a middle of the pack, you know, I like the shot that Jonas Adu takes at the top of the key at the free throw line.
Mm.
If he could just find one of those shots where he just takes one or two dribbles and then that's his shot, I'd be happy with, but it's been a problem, I think, with his shooting is he'll take the ball and he'll sit there and then he decides to shoot it. And it's almost like you can't hesitate. I mean, I'm not a shooting coach, but that feels like a weird motion that he has sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's so big and he gets his shot off so high that he kind of surveys, like, is this guy close enough to get it? And then he goes up for the shot instead of just catch and shoot.
Yep.
Well, at the end of the day, guys, we found a way to get the victory. I'm ecstatic. I mean, I'm. If you had told me after we'd gotten swept by Kentucky that we'd be here, I would have called you crazy. So all we do is just survive in advance. And the last thing I'll end it with is, Adam, if you're listening, let me count the ways you love Richard Dale. Thanks, guys. Go Vols.
Thanks, Matthew. Yeah, this is a great week for Tennessee basketball. You're home safe in the Sweet 16. You get a week to enjoy it. And the only way it gets better is if you win two games in New York and you get another week to enjoy it before heading to Houston for the Final Four.
Tariq Whitehead for Duke in the first half was 2 of 5 from three and 1 of 2 from two. In the second half, he didn't attempt a shot. Isn't that crazy? Took 7 shots in the first half, didn't even attempt a shot in the second half.
Who?
Tariq Whitehead.
Oh.
He hit 2 threes in the first half, which in a half where you only scored 21 points, I mean, 6 of them is, you know, almost a third of their scoring.
Right, right.
Just strange. But that's what Tennessee's defense and style will kind of do to you. It worked, and see ya, Duke. You got to be with Charles Barkley on this. I mean, anybody complaining about a team playing too hard in the big dance? I mean, it's called March Madness, for crying out loud.
He's a dookie. What do you expect from Jay Billis?
Play too hard.
Too hard, too physical. Well, they called the fouls. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave you phantom fouls.
Mm-hmm.
One on Vescovi and one on the guy that wasn't named Roach who committed the foul.
And if Tennessee had played like super soft all day, but you know, on purpose, like Filipowski still gets elbowed in the face, like that,
yeah,
that was
wasn't.
Like as clear as day that it was an accident. I mean, I don't know.
We can start this for hour number three, but the FAU coach is already laying down the seeds of kind of check the officials a little bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
They talked a little bit about him on the broadcast.
He's already trying to
we'll get into
make
that.
Sure we get the good whistle.
Well, we had that question earlier on Twitter in a little different way, so we'll chew on it next.